Good evening, everyone. Call to order the June 26, 2018 meeting of the Dairy Township Board of Supervisors. If everyone would please rise and join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Jill, may I please have a roll call?
Member Rick Zamuda?
Here.
Member Matt Weir?
Here.
Member Justin Engel?
Here.
Chairman Mark Moyer?
Here.
And Member Susan Quirk.
I'd like to remind that although it's posted within the meeting room, I'd like to advise those persons attending tonight's meeting that it is and has been the policy of Dairy Township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. And to note that the Board Supervisors met in executive session prior to tonight's evening to discuss personnel issues. At this time, I invite the general public to address the Board Supervisors during the visitor public comments. Anyone desirous of addressing the Board Supervisors can approach the podium. They'd be so kind as to state their name and their address and to limit their comments to 3 minutes or less. That would be greatly appreciated.
I'm Rebecca Wills from 730 Sturman Drive in Hummelstown, representing Hershey Indivisible Team.
I'm Kate Tomchek at 349 Cedar Avenue, Hershey, representing Dairy Environmental Action Committee.
So we're here tonight to ask if you would consider the adoption of a climate change action plan for Dairy Township. Tonight we'll just read portions of it, a longer document that we sent to you.
Whereas Dairy Township recognizes that climate change is one of the most critical sustainability issues, threatening the long-term human and environmental health, social well-being, and economic vitality of our community.
Whereas the Constitution of the Commonwealth states that the people have a right to the natural, scenic, historic, and aesthetic values of the environment, and last year the Supreme Court reaffirmed the critical role of the government in protecting our national environment, natural environment.
Whereas the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources has reported that climate change is already manifesting itself in the Commonwealth in the form of higher temperatures, large storm events, decreased snow cover, and ecosystem destabilization. And whereas Pennsylvania ranks second in the nation with nearly 12,000 excess deaths each year due to cancer and diseases of the lung and heart linked to fine particulate air pollution.
In addition, statewide costs due to premature deaths, increased illness, and reduced agricultural yields are estimated to exceed $15 billion per year, creating an economic burden on our citizens with particular risk to vulnerable populations.
Furthermore, the productivity of Pennsylvania businesses continues to be threatened by global warming effects with resulting damage to public infrastructure, higher operating costs, and reduced agricultural production.
Whereas in response to the Pennsylvania Climate Change Act of 2008, the Department of Environmental Protection created a climate action plan for the state, which focused on reduction and offset of greenhouse gases.
Whereas the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative involving 9 northeastern states has identified savings of almost $6 billion over its first 6 years in cumulative health and productivity benefits.
Whereas cities in Pennsylvania, including Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Allentown, Bethlehem, and Lancaster, have already individually taken steps to reduce their carbon emissions.
Whereas important local commitments to climate change have been made, including the Township Stormwater Management Ordinance, the 2017 Zoning Ordinance, smart growth principles that have been incorporated, as well as installation of the Township Solar Array, Tree Vitalize, Community Bike Share, and Community Garden Share initiatives.
In addition, Hershey Medical Center has reduced its energy consumption by 25% since 2005, with accompanying carbon emission reductions. And the Hershey Company has pledged a 25% reduction in their water use, waste, and carbon emissions by 2025.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Dairy Township Board of Supervisors is committed to create a climate action change advisory committee that includes township officials, citizens, and representatives from public and private sectors to explore and lead the creation and implementation of an action plan for Dairy Township.
Advise that this committee will follow the model provided by the DEP's action plan to determine what carbon burden is being generated within Dairy Township, to identify the cost-effective strategies for reducing and offsetting carbon emissions, and to encourage the township to consider possible environmental impacts of all decision-making.
By adopting a climate action resolution, Dairy Township will continue to serve as a model community in Central PA and beyond as we act to protect the health and welfare of our citizens, conserve township resources, and promote the viability of our businesses. And before we close, we'd like to ask those that are here tonight in support of the Climate Action Plan for Dairy Township to please stand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you for coming to see us. Are there any others that would like to, who would like to address the Board of Supervisors this evening?
Harry Susie, 86 Ridgeview Road, Hummelstown, Pennsylvania, Derry Township. Excuse me. I was looking at your multi-year financial projections dated June 12, 2018. And it's done by a company called PFM. I don't know if you're aware, this is from a Reuters, May 21st, 2018, that the state sued RBMC, Capital Marketing, Buchanan Ingersoll, Rooney PC, and Public Financial Management, excuse me, for the ill-fated trash-to-energy project, which has saddled the city with $360 million in debt. This goes on, and I don't know if you've read it or not. It goes on to say that, the working group, which they were considered, misled the city in providing false information and concealing important facts according to the complaint. Excuse me. PFM did not respond to the request from Reuters. My concern is, when I look at this, I read this and then I look at this, and you go to page 3 of your document.
And this is what, sir? You're saying this, you look at this, what do you, to
well,
what are you?
When I look at your multi-year financial projections, what I'm a little concerned about is, you know, these guys are kind of, they're, I don't know, what would you say, they're being looked at by the state, which is, did they mismanage this, or I'm not sure what happened, really. It's kind of still up in the air. I guess it's still in litigation. My concern is, when I see the long-range projections, are you guys confident with PFM Incorporated? Are you confident that we're not going to be end up like the Harrisburg Incinerator Project with kind of mismanaged information and things like that? The one thing they said here is misleading the city in, by providing false information and concealing important facts according to the complaint. And you guys are all aware of that.
Yeah. We are. I mean, I'll speak to it.
I'm just concerned.
Yeah, Harriet, I mean, it's a valid point. And it's, but just to give a little frame of reference, so PFM's a pretty big company.
Yeah, for sure.
And so none of the advisors that we're working with were part of the Harrisburg Incinerator Project. PFM has 40 offices around the country.
Right.
They're one of the largest public financial advisors in the country. And so the Harrisburg Incinerator, there's no guilt was found. There's a complaint, as you know.
Right.
So really what it represents is one transaction in what, and you know, it's funny because I had several numbers written down at a previous meeting. I don't have them in front of me, but it's some, you know, thousands of transactions that they've done just in Pennsylvania. And so what it represents is such a small piece of the whole picture. So we've had, when we went to look for a financial planner years ago, when we were considering the community center project, we talked to three, and this was over the course of about 3 months, we really interviewed three different firms, and PFM really established themselves as the clear leader in advising on these types of things. They had a proprietary model that they've used in municipalities all across Pennsylvania. And so I could not have more confidence in the fact that PFM is giving us great, prudent advice.
And the whole board agrees with what Justin said? Okay. I was just concerned when I read it. You know, it's interesting when you do a little research on one thing, $31 million Rick Center, everything else comes up. And so when I read this, I was concerned, particularly when I saw that they were involved in the Harrisburg Incinerator Project. So I can see where my concern would, you know, would fall.
Yeah.
My other issue is, I was at the one meeting I was at, and I asked some questions, and I'm sorry that Susan's not here tonight, but she referred to the fact that to contact the board off of or away from the meetings, and I tried to do that, And the emails came back to me that they were undeliverable. So I don't know what happened. I don't know who, you know, what's wrong with your system or something happened, but they came back to me because it's kind of a...
Did you use the emails that are on the website?
Yes, I did. Because I used those specifically thinking they would work.
Sure, they should.
Yeah.
That's the first we've heard this, but
So I don't know if you want to look at that because it's kind of a moot point now since you're moving forward and with the project. But at that point in time, I did want to contact everybody and just talk to them. So, but
absolutely.
Anyway, thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to address the board?
I'm Teresa Peschel, and I live at 48 Half Street. And I'm here specifically for line item C5, and that is in reference to the upcoming Chocolate Avenue streetscape. And if we are serious about our climate change initiative, I hope that the streetscape will include dedicated bike lanes, as well as additional street trees, benches for pedestrians. Anything that can encourage pedestrian traffic is better for the township. And also, will the streetscape plan finish the ADA compliant curb cuts? Many of the places where the sidewalks in the township meet streets, a lot of them were redone, but there are still plenty of sidewalks that intersect with streets that are not ADA compliant. And if you are in a wheelchair or on a walker, a 1-inch curb might as well be a cliff. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next item, the adoption of minutes of the June 12, 2018 Board of Supervisor meeting. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye. Oh, sorry, I'll make a motion to approve. Justin makes the motion to approve. And all those in favor say aye. I'll second, I'm sorry. Getting a little ahead of myself here, Tony. I'll second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and those minutes are adopted unanimously. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is A1, presentation to the Board of Supervisors and the community on the Lifeline Emergency Medical Services provided to Derry Township.
Good evening, thank you for having me tonight. My name is Scott Beakley. I'm the program manager for Lifeline EMS. I'm also the pleasure of being the EMS chief for the service that provides emergency medical services. Back in May during National EMS Week, Supervisor Court stopped over the hangar for a event that we were having and gently gave me a nudge that I have not been in to talk to the township lately and there's some new faces that I should come in and just give you an overview of the service yet. I do have a PowerPoint here. I'm going to be as brief as possible, and I do encourage the members of the board that at any time if they would like more information, want to stop over the hangar, and please feel free to do that. Lifeline EMS is the clicker's not okay. I'm going to work without a net. So,
Chuck, help.
Stop. Part of the projector.
Oh, there we go. Or was that me? Okay. So Lifeline EMS is solely owned and operated by the Penn State Milton S. Hershey Medical Center. We are part of the Department of Emergency Medical Services. We provide service to multiple municipalities, 14 municipalities throughout Dauphin, Lebanon, and Berks County. The recent acquisition of St. Joe's Hospital by the Penn State Health System in Berks County has expanded us down in that area. The benefit that Derry Township has always had with the Emergency Medical Service program is that Milton S. Hershey Medical Center is dead center in our district. So you'll see a slide later on that as we have calls and units are used up, we collapse back in concentric rings that there is always a unit available in Derry Township. As a matter of fact, as of this afternoon at 3:30, I ran a report and the board will have that as far as the number of calls in the township. There have been 3,500 calls this fiscal year from July 1 to today in the township. And of those 3,500 calls, we have only had 4 calls by our records and also verified through Dauphin County that have had to go to mutual aid and EMS services that have had to come in and cover us. So therefore, we have a less than a 1% miss rate in Derry Township alone. So if you look at Lifeline, we are divided up into two divisions. There's the EMS division, and there's also the critical care transport team, which incorporates the helicopters and the ground critical care units. All total, there's about 250 people total who work for the Lifeline program. 176 of them are on the ground side, and the other 75 or so are on the critical care team. In our entire area, service area between Dauphin, Lebanon, and Berks County, we cover 112,000 people in our area. So it is a pretty expansive area that we cover. Okay, good. All right, so as far as the EMS operations go, we cover the township, we cover the Hummelstown Borough, Lower Swatara Township, Palmyra Borough. At the peak of the day, there are 9 dedicated ambulances, advanced life support units to the township, and then we have the ability to flex up 2 additional units as needed. At night, because the call volume drops back, we drop that back to 4. And again, with those collapsing concentric rings, the township is pretty much always covered. In the Derry Township or the Hershey area, again, we have units stationed here in the township. We have one over Hummelstown Borough, one in Lower Swatara. We have 2 in Palmyra Borough, and another one down at the Milton S. Hershey School. The critical care transport team is one of the most recognizable symbols of the program. A lot of people do not realize how big the ground program is because at times we're overshadowed by our big brothers and sisters on the helicopter team. But this encompasses 3 aircraft, 2 are here at Hershey, the other one over Carlisle, and of course the ground pediatric team as well. Good. It's not just 911 calls for EMS, so there's so many other things that Lifeline EMS does. We're constantly doing community outreach with not only the Derry Township, but also the Hershey entities, all of our surrounding municipalities. We have paramedics who are assigned to the Dauphin County Tactical Team. They've been embedded with them for almost 20 years now. We have a special pandemic team that, since the Hershey Medical Center is actually in a Ebola receiving facility, we have a specially trained team who can go out and retrieve and transport highly infectious patients. They're also cross-trained in chemical, biological, and even nuclear agents if need be. We also support very large venues. Beaver Stadium is one. We do, since we are a university affiliated, we do lend some support up there. And in the next slide, you'll also see, we do frequently support HENR with their events as well. Hershey Entertainment Resort does have their own EMS service, but we do provide advanced life support for them on a daily basis. And then also when they have concerts, we flex up units for that. And also recently, we've started embedding some personnel in the township EOC for various events, the half marathon and so forth. The other benefit that you have is we are still the only EMS service in central Pennsylvania that has a physician response vehicle. We have 4 physicians who work hand-in-hand with Lifeline EMS. They're also attending physicians in the emergency department over here at the medical center. And we have a special vehicle that the physician can respond on certain types of call at his or her discretion and certain types of call where they would be called out for their expertise. This is a service that's provided free of charge to the community as far as the physician response, but it's just a level of expertise that no one else is offering. The map here shows you our response area. If you look at this, this is Dauphin, Lebanon, and also Berks County. The red areas is the current service areas that we're providing service to, 911 service to. I talked about those collapsing rings. Every star on the map is an EMS station location. The big blue star in the center is Hershey Medical Center. The blue stars within the rings are Lifeline EMS stations. There is one green star in the ring too. That would be Lawn EMS down in Campbelltown. They are a volunteer EMS service that we provide the advanced life support. And then the surrounding circles are neighboring EMS services. So again, when our units get tied up and they start getting depleted, there's always a unit that's falling back here to the township. We are being called more and more to service the neighboring municipalities because their EMS units get depleted. We've seen that kind of level off, but last year we saw about a 27% spike in the number of mutual aid calls that we were running, and it's just one of the challenges that EMS is facing with low staffing numbers. People just don't want to do this job anymore. Some struggles that some of the neighboring services are having. We have units that actually now respond to Harrisburg City, respond to Dauphin County. We had a unit a couple weeks ago that actually responded to Schuylkill County up to Pine Grove because there was no other units available. But again, because of where we're located, that circle is our response area. The med center is dead center in the middle of it. So that's one benefit that we have geographically that really helps us out. We maintain our accreditations. We are a pediatric certified service through the Department of Health or through the Pennsylvania Emergency Health Services Federation. It's kind of funny because when this first rolled out, I was given a mandate that we are owned and operated by a children's hospital, so therefore we must have this. So we pursued everything we had there that we needed to do, and all of our providers are trained in pediatric emergencies. The 2018 AHA award, we've just been reaccredited for the fifth year in a row, and that is for outstanding pre-hospital cardiac care. And also our critical care team is certified through the CAMHS accreditation. We're going to be adding our ground team to that as well, and that is a nationally accreditation board that looks at aeromedical and critical care and also now EMS ground services as well. Just some statistics. Again, I left a printout here that you can look at. Just to talk about some of the highlights of what we do. So our average response times, again, 3,500 calls as of 3:30 this afternoon. Our average response time out the door is 52 seconds or less. Our average class one response time in Derry Township is 6.5 minutes, which is pretty good, is well under the national norms. Now that is class one lights and siren emergency dispatch. When Dauphin County gets a call, if you're having a heart attack or if you're in a car crash or something, they'll send the ambulance emergency. If you fall and break your foot, they will send the ambulance non-emergency. That is no lights and sirens. You're following the stop signs and all the red lights and so forth. So that is obviously a longer response time. But even with our class three response times, we're still averaging well under 12 minutes, which is the national norm. Our highest call volumes, basically sick persons, which are general medical calls, falls, auto accidents. We had 32 cardiac arrests this fiscal year so far in Derry Township. And of those 32 cardiac arrests, we have successfully resuscitated 14 people that have been neurologically intact, that have either been discharged for the hospital or have been discharged from the hospital with minimal to no neurological impairment. And a lot of that, you'll see some of the awards tonight, is a credit to the police department, also the fire department, who help us out quite frequently. The last note I put up here is we get a lot of questions from our municipal leaders about the effect of the opioid epidemic on us. In Derry Township so far for this fiscal year, we have had 12 heroin overdoses that we can verify by our records. Three of these were obvious deaths related to heroin. Now, EMS, we cannot say certainly that somebody died from heroin, but the evidence on scene led us to believe that it is possibly due to an opioid. And we've had two cardiac arrests that patients that were in cardiac arrest when we got there from opioids that we took to the med center and were successfully resuscitated. As far as their outcome goes, neither of them were discharged from the hospital because of their downtime, but they were in cardiac arrest when we got there. Again, assistance from the police. We worked them into the hospital and they've subsequently succumbed to their injuries. Again, that's just something that we like to put out there because I know a lot of it's a hot button topic right now. You know, the benefits are we're not going anywhere. We have a contract with the township. The hospital is committed to the program. If anything, the hospital is now talking about expanding the program even further. But we're facing some challenges in the future. Again, one is our staffing issues. People don't want to be EMTs and paramedics anymore, so we struggle with getting people to get into this profession. Like any business, costs are rising. We're facing more of an older population with Medicare and Medicaid, and we have those challenges that we try to navigate as well. Healthcare is very uncertain. I'm sure that you've all seen the Penn Live report today that we are now building a hospital on the West Shore. So you got to tune into Penn Live every day just to see what's going on in healthcare. So it is a very, very interesting roller coaster ride at the moment. So. And again, you know, we're constantly faced with decreasing reimbursements from the insurance companies. You know, our costs go up. Recently, the governor just signed a bill that was the first increase in like 14 years for Medicaid reimbursements for EMS services. If a patient is on Medicaid and an EMS unit responds, the rate we used to get reimbursed was $170. So if that's a $2,000 cardiac arrest bill, it's $170 that we would get for that. So that is not sustainable, and we're seeing a lot of EMS, smaller EMS services that are starting to fall by the wayside that we're having to pick up some of that responsibility and you know, help those services out or cover for those services. So, but any questions? I tried to be as brief as possible. Again, Supervisor Court gave me a nudge that I should come and talk to the township. I try to do this every so often, but we do encourage the members of the township to stop over the hangar. We'd be more than willing to sit and talk about this. We do have a five-year contract with the township, which we've had for many, many years. That'll be up for, I think, next year. We're getting up on that, so we'd be more than willing to sit down with you and talk about that again. But basically the state of the union of your EMS service is very strong and it is doing very well. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. And again, don't ever hesitate to reach out to me or the hangar.
Anybody have any questions, Scott? I think it would be appropriate that we test drive the helicopter.
We can discuss that the next contract. Or
Scott, are you hiring any additional pilots by any chance?
We actually have two pilots who are retiring this year. That is a destination
job. So you're saying there's a chance?
Yes, there is a chance. So there are two pilots who are retiring. So. A lot of institutional knowledge there.
Those days would be like, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Next item on the agenda, B1, presentation of awards to acknowledge the outstanding efforts of our Derrick Township Police Department. Chief.
Every year we like to acknowledge some of the great work that our men and women do at the Derrick Township Police Department. This runs kind of strange. It usually runs from May of last year till May of this year. So you'll see one incident that actually happened this year and the other ones were in 2017. One other note, and just kind of tag along with what the EMS chief indicated. Most of these awards are for naloxone reversals for opioid overdoses. If you would have told us 10 years ago that a lot of our awards were going to be going to people that overdosed and officers were able to reverse that overdose with naloxone on the scene, we probably would have told you you were crazy. But it seems to be a norm of practice for us now when we get called to these. And unfortunately, the opioids are getting stronger with the introduction of fentanyl and carfentanil. So you'll see, I think, in all of these that multiple doses of naloxone had to be administered to reverse the effects of the overdose. So with the overdoses, I'm going to call all the officers that are receiving letters of recognition from the department for those overdose reversals, have them come up, and then I'll read a little bit of the narrative for each one for the officers. So I will need Officer Talia Keller, Officer Ryan Bell, Officer Gregory Mowry, and Sergeant Eric Singheiser. While they're getting set, Officer Keller's letter of recognition, officers are dispatched to a local hotel for a report of a 27-year-old female who had reportedly overdosed on heroin. Officers arrived on scene and led to a room where a female subject was found lying on the floor, unconscious and in shallow breathing. Evidence of recent drug use, and the caller indicated the subject had injected heroin before overdosing. Officer Keller retrieved the naloxone kit and administered a dose to the patient with no results. Officer Keller administered a second dose of naloxone and the patient started to regain consciousness and started speaking with EMS personnel who had arrived and taken over patient care. Officer Bell. Officers were dispatched to an apartment on Columbia Drive for a possible cardiac arrest. Officer Ryan Bell arrived on the scene to find a female performing chest compressions on a 32-year-old male subject. Officer Bell identified evidence of recent drug use and determined the male subject was suffering from an opioid-induced overdose. Officer Bell retrieved an naloxone kit and administered a dose to the patient with no results. Officer Bell administered a second dose of naloxone and the patient started to regain consciousness and started speaking with the first responders at the scene. Officer Mowry. Officers were dispatched to a residence on Joanne Avenue for a drug overdose. Officer Gregory Mowry arrived on scene and found a male subject who was not breathing in a bathroom. Officer Mowery conducted a quick scene assessment and determined the subject's current state was likely due to an opioid overdose. Officer Mowery retrieved an naloxone kit and administered a dose to the patient with no results. Officer Mowery administered a second dose of naloxone and the patient started to regain consciousness and started speaking with EMS personnel who had arrived at the scene and taken over patient care. And Sergeant Singheiser. Officers were dispatched to a residence on West Arriba Avenue for a male subject in cardiac arrest. Officers arrived to find Hershey Volunteer Fire Department members providing rescue breaths to a 25-year-old male victim. Officers quickly assessed the scene and determined the patient was likely suffering from an opioid overdose. Sergeant Eric Singheiser, after this quick initial assessment, retrieved a naloxone kit and administered a dose to the patient with no results. Sergeant Singheiser administered a second dose of naloxone and the patient started to regain consciousness and started speaking with first responders at the scene. All of these officers, their quick response and dedication as a public safety professional resulted in the reversal of the opioid overdoses and subsequent rescue of the victims. Their actions exemplify the mission and values of the Derry Township Police Department and their dedication to the Derry Township community. Based on the information spoke of in these incidents, these officers are hereby awarded the department's letter of recognition. Congratulations. Gentlemen, Sergeant Singheiser, if you can stay up front. All right, so on February 27, 2018, at around 1:12 a.m., Officer Sean Sargent conducted a traffic stop at the intersection of Chocolate Avenue and Cocoa Avenue. Shortly after, Officer Sergeant requested EMS to his location for an obstetrics patient who was in active labor. Multiple officers arrived on scene to include Sergeant Eric Singheiser. Sergeant Singheiser conducted a primary assessment of the patient while waiting for EMS response. The situation rapidly evolved and the female in labor indicated she felt the baby was coming. The version I have here is much shorter than the report, and some of the stuff that Sergeant Singheiser was involved in this incident, I can't even imagine being there. I've never delivered a baby on duty. I've helped in my own kid's childbirth, but never in a situation like this. So we had to shorten it down to get it on the award. So Sergeant Singheiser reassessed the situation and provided assistance by having the female patient reposition herself in the vehicle, provided verbal coaching, and ultimately assisted in the delivery of a baby boy. The mother and child were transferred into the ambulance that had arrived on scene and transported to Penn State Hershey Medical Center for further evaluation and treatment. Sergeant Singheiser's actions embody his dedication to emergency medical care training for our law enforcement personnel at the Derry Township Police Department, and his actions exemplify the mission and values of the Derry Township Police Department and his dedication to the community we serve. Based on the information regarding his actions on February 27, 2018, Sergeant Eric Singheiser is hereby awarded the Department's Award of Merit. Family that Sergeant Singheiser helped out that night, I invited them to the meeting tonight. I wasn't sure if they were going to come because I think they're a very private family, but they actually showed up and This is Jacob and Sadie Stoltzfus, and this is little Elias. Jacob, I will ask you, did you want anything for that would be in the press at all? I know we would like to get a picture of you and Sergeant Singheiser for our department, but I'll let that up to you as far as anything that would go into a local newspaper.
I don't think so.
Okay, all right. Then once you leave, our detective would like to get a picture of you folks and Sergeant Singheiser just to commemorate it within the department here.
Okay.
We appreciate you coming, and Elias looks great. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. And on behalf of myself and the other members of the Board of Supervisors, we, as always, commend tonight's officers and the officers of our entire department for their selfless service and their dedication to our community. So thank you all. The next item on the agenda is the authorization to accept a supplemental proposal from Herbert Roland McRubick, Inc. to provide professional and related project services for the Chocolate Avenue streetscape improvements as they pertain to the construction, administration, and inspection. Mr. Negley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The township for several years now is working on a streetscape project for Chocolate Avenue. Construction bids for this were opened on April 12th and bids were awarded on May 24th. It's expected that the notice to proceed will be given in late June of 2018. In anticipation of the notice to proceed, we will need construction, administrative management services for this project. HRD has submitted a scope in the amount of $220,000. These funds are included in a DCIB loan, and I recommend approval.
And Mr. Nagley, the $220,000 that are subsumed or included within the loan we've recently received?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments on behalf of the members of the board? If none, I'll entertain a motion that the township manager execute an agreement with HRMG to provide supplemental professional and related project services for the Chocolate Avenue streetscape improvements.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. The next item on the agenda is consideration of discontinuing development of a roadway impact fee ordinance. Mr. Emmerich.
I think we jumped in.
Oh, did we? I think you're right, Mr. Emmerich. Thank you for testing your...
I have a different one teed up anyway.
I apologize. Consideration of Resolution 1553, which would revise, restate, and establish certain fees under the Building Codes, Zoning Codes, Subdivision and Land Development Codes, Stormwater Management Codes, and other miscellaneous fees and charges for services provided by community development personnel. Who would that be?
Mr. Emmerich. Thank you for your understanding. I'm still getting used to this paper list, though, so
get
up and ready to go on this one. As the board's aware, we do review and assess our fees from time to time, actually annually against consumer price index, but then occasionally we find the need to make other modifications to our fee schedule, and that's the case of this Resolution 1553. It will replace Resolution 1544, and there's just a few modifications that we've made to our fee schedule. One is related to inclusion of electrical work construction cost in our fee. It's typically paid to a third party, so we didn't want that to get involved in the fee that we collect, which is based on the total construction cost. So that's been adjusted. With the new stage that's been put down at the arena and the modifications that they do to that from time to time, it's necessary to establish a fee for doing those inspections or ensuring that is done properly. We've adjusted a fee related to or actually created a fee related to contractors counseling inspections. We have a few contractors that overschedule our staff and then cancel the morning of, and it's really creating havoc on our scheduling, so we're trying to create some fee to deter that practice. When we adopted our new zoning ordinance, we created a review path for murals and street art. And at the time, we put that under the conditional use hearing fee, which was $525. That's far more than is needed for that type of application review. So that fee has been adjusted. And as has always been the case, this impacts our budget in a very financially fiscally sound manner, as it's all user end fees. It's fees that people are receiving services for. So with that explanation, I'm recommending that resolution 1553 be adopted.
Are there any questions or comments from Mr. Emmerich on this issue? How much is it, Muriel?
It's a $25 fee.
$25.
And it's a little bit different than $520.
Yeah, right. Okay. Thank you. Good idea. Well, hearing no comments, I'll entertain a motion to adopt resolution 1553.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Weir. I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. And that resolution is adopted unanimously. Next item on our agenda is E2, consideration of discontinuing development of the roadway impact fee ordinance. Mr. Trevor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board's aware, the board had adopted resolution in August of 2017 to establish a roadway impact fee advisory committee. That committee had a few meetings, a hearing, and to really kind of make it short, we found that the roadway impact fee at this time of the development of Derry Township is probably not a prudent thing to do. We have always been very successful in working with our developers, and we're finding that this may adversely limit the amount of contribution the developer gives us during the development of a project. Just by example, under the impact fee ordinance, if that was going to move forward for the Red Roof Inn expansion, which is creating a new hotel, we would have collected $32,000. For Miller Oral Surgery Project, we'd collect $15,000, and for the True Hotel on Hillcrest, we'd collect $26,000. And although that sounds like a lot of money, we don't want to inhibit development of the township. We're trying to right now create our economic base and improve that. And when you look at the cost of some projects like the simply the right turn lanes at 322 and Fishburne, that project is estimated $750,000. So you can see that even the largest of the fees, $32,000, is going to have a very small impact, even if it could be applied to that project.
What did you base that assumption on? What fee per trip?
$1,000 per trip, which is what the interim fee is.
Right.
The other projects we have on are $3 million, $10 million. For the sake of, again, inhibiting the ability of people to develop here in Derry Township, the committee feels that it's appropriate to cease activities on the impact fee ordinance. However, a lot of the work that was done there, as we knew when we launched this program, is transferable to actually Lauren's agenda item, which we're going to segue to. To date, we spent $42,000 towards the roadway impact fee. Of that, $27,000 can be used as the match towards the regional study. We need to have a $60,000 match. We knew the $60,000 match was going to come out of this. Much of the work that was done within this part of the traffic impact fee study is also transferable. We're at a pivot point where we're going to lose very little if we transition to doing the regional study. So in this agenda item, I'm recommending that the work strictly related to development of the roadway impact fee ordinance be discontinued as part of the motion on the companion agenda item to be presented by Lauren.
Are there any questions or comments of Chuck on this? I'm going to defer placing a motion on the floor until after Lauren provides hers and consult me to do, since they are, they do dovetail off of one another. But if there's any questions of Chuck?
No, it's not a question, but if I could just make a comment, that it's, and Chuck, I know you and I agree on this, so it's not, I'm not contradicting anything that you're saying, but it's for me, it's not that the roadway impact fee would inhibit development so much as it is that it's the amount of fee that we collect isn't really justified by the amount of fees that we'll spend to maintain the program. And the fees that we collect are so tightly regulated that it takes away our ability to negotiate potentially more fees and use them the way that we think they should be used rather than what's regulated by the, is it the governing legislation, right, if that's what it's saying.
Yeah. And the other thing, I was trying not to go too deep in the weeds, but if we're using these fees towards a state road project, we can only use 50% of the fees.
Right.
So yeah, we found very, a lot of limiting factors
for
continuing this program.
Yeah, but again, based on what Lauren's gonna present, definitely no regrets, because we've embarked upon great studies that, you know, the township will, from a transportation perspective, will be in a position to plan better than we ever have based on the studies that will be done.
So. I think it makes sense from a long-term perspective.
Yeah,
we're looking beyond the immediate, the big picture of that impact. So. With that, Lauren, I'd like for you to address the next item on the agenda, if you'd be so kind, the approval of PennDOT connects with contract with the Tri-County Regional Planning Commission and the approval of HRG's scope of work for the Greater Hershey Regional Transportation Study.
Thank you, I'd be happy to. So really, kind of picking up where Chuck left things, back in September of last year, we had applied for some PennDOT Connects planning funding, working in conjunction with the Tri-County Regional Planning Commission for a study that we were referring to as the Greater Hershey Regional Transportation Study. This study was intended to be decidedly different than the RIF. As Justin mentioned, you know, it's a very prescribed approach. This study was to take a larger, more holistic view of the region and actually establish a capital improvements program for transportation improvements. The total cost of that study was estimated to be $200,000, and with the award that we were granted of $140,000, the intent was that our $60,000 in matching funds would be coming from a portion of the work associated with the RIF. So when we applied, it wasn't intended that there would be any additional out-of-pocket costs to the township. As I mentioned, we did receive the grant award. The next step in utilizing that funding is to approve a contract with Tri-County to be able to make use of those funds. We are still needing to provide that $60,000 matching fee, and as Chuck mentioned, a portion of the work that has already been completed on the RIF can be applied to this project and used as part of that match. In total, this project would include a transportation capital improvement plan, which I mentioned, suggested updates to the official map, creation of a bicycle and pedestrian mobility map, and also project statements for major regional transportation improvements to submit to HATS for inclusion on the TIP. So it's really quite a large package that we would be getting from HRG should we consider approving their scope tonight. So with that, in talking with HRG, if the board is interested in pulling back on the RIF, they've submitted a proposal, which is essentially a revised scope of work to shift from the scope that was included in the RIF over to what will be done for the Greater Hershey Study. So we would need a motion to first approve the grant contract with Tri-County, and then another motion to approve HRG's revised scope, following a motion regarding Chuck's agenda item to pull back on the RIF.
Any questions for Lauren?
I just have a comment from previously on the RIF. And I obviously support this, but it's funny, my evolution on this particular subject. When I first came on the board here, we started talking about the I think we called it the TIP at the time, right? The traffic.
Yeah, RIF.
Yeah. And I thought, wow, this is really great. You know, we'll be able to get some money. We'll be able to make some improvements on the road. And then just attending the meetings that were going on about the RIF, talking to Chuck, talking to the rest of these guys here, and then doing my own research, I came to the conclusion that it's not a great idea in this particular locale. And I think we're going to do, hopefully, if my cohorts here agree with me, we'll do the right thing and move on with our lives with this. Thank you.
So 42,000 has been spent.
I was just going to say there's, of that, we'll be able to use a portion towards the RIF. Essentially, there's about 14.8 that we would not be able to recover.
Okay. So then how much more of the matching, how much more of the match do we have to meet?
32,800, if I'm doing that math correctly.
Yep. Thank you. So does that come out? So we'll eventually spend a total of about 70?
You're saying 70, Chuck's saying 60, and I'm getting 74.8, yeah.
74.8.
Sorry.
So, but in sum, we're spending 74.8 to get a $200,000 study.
Correct.
Of the area that is where Pershing Medical Center, SA Health, is developing, and where Middletown Road has been identified as a major problem, mm-hmm. and where we all know, and we've communicated with our legislators, and we've all know and learned that better studies, more collaboration, leads to more attention from PennDOT, which means more money from PennDOT. And that's kind of the long-term goal, is that we get attention and we connect with PennDOT and they see the need.
Right.
And eventually it leads to more improvements.
Correct, yeah. And the study will consider a little bit outside of our footprint to look at, you know, kind of what's happening regionally too, which can be helpful.
Yeah. That's always been the gist, that we are subject to outside influences and mm-hmm. can't be just limited to looking within our boundaries. We need to figure out what regionally mm-hmm. the impact is going to be on our township too. So I think this study will do that. But with that, the first motion I'd like to make, at least would entertain, is to enter into a professional services contract with the Tri-County Regional Planning Commission to receive PennDOT Connect's planning grant funds for the Greater Hershey Regional Transportation Study. I'll make that motion. Second.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. And the second motion I'll make is to approve HRG's proposal dated June 20th, 2018 for the Greater Hershey Regional Transportation Study. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that too carries unanimously.
I'm sorry.
E2. It is not my money, is it? Bring that to my attention. Item E2, consideration of disconnecting or discontinuing development of the roadway impact fee ordinance. We need to vote on that too. And the motion,
I'll make that motion.
And made by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Second by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously as well. And thank you, John, for bringing it to my attention. The next item on the agenda is correspondence and board and committee information. I'll start with my left. Mr. Zamuda, anything?
Culture Fest. Really went off well. A lot of people there. Still looking for volunteers, though. So if anybody wants to get out there for the next occasion, but it was a great job. Everybody involved. I had a good time. My daughter had a good time. My wife even came and had a good time. So
great food.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention.
Can't not mention.
Whoever was on the food committee did a great job.
Yeah. Pat?
Yeah, I did meet with the people that were here at the first public session about the carbon resolution, and I hope we put that on the agenda in the near future. So.
But I'd like to ask that
members of the Board of Supervisors continue to review that, consider that, and most certainly will be a topic of our discussion in the near future. All right? You bet. Mr. Engel, anything?
Yeah, just real quick, there'll be several comments that tonight, I think, about Culture Fest, but I just wanted to touch on one component of it and make a call out to the fire department. So, David, it's been wonderful to work with them. You know, as you know, the fire department is right there, and your trustees, I'm going to call about Gordy Peters, Burks and Kett, Steve Walls, have been great to work with, and the collaboration has been great. So, really appreciate it. Please communicate that to them.
That's a wonderful
thing. Thanks.
Mr. Engel, anything?
No.
Okay, very well. Reports. Chief, anything that on behalf of the police department?
Only one thing. Last night I attended the Derry Township School Board meeting with Amy Rote, a representative from Big Brothers Big Sisters. We are going to be rolling out a new program this next school year called Things in Blue. It's not going to cost the department or the township anything. Just some time on the officers' parts that want to volunteer for the program, but they basically get matched up with a little within the elementary school, and they act as a mentor for that person. Maybe somebody that's being bullied or somebody that's bullying other kids, and we try to help them work through things and just be there as a big brother or big sister, depending on the officer. So we're going to be rolling out that program this year. We had some private entity sponsors that are going to pay for the program, and the school board is definitely excited about this program, as is the police department, hoping to reach out and get some kids some mentorship that they need.
Thank you, Chief. Dave, anything we have for the fire department?
I have just a couple things to bring up. Over the last 2 weeks, we've been operating up at the Old Memory Bakery. We've been doing such things as large-scale building operations, hose line advancements, and aerial operations, and we're very grateful for them allowing us to use that building. Our operational fund drive should be going out this week into the community's mailbox. And lastly, we're also hosting a NIMS, or National Incident Management Systems classes, currently down at the firehouse for, it's regional actually, we have about 25 people there. Two of them are our own officers, and they're taking a logistics program to better serve in the national events. That's all I have for this evening.
Thank you. Bob, anything?
I have nothing to make, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura?
Yes. I just want to give you an update on our summer program. We've got 734 kids signed up so far for this summer, and they've read over 140,000 minutes already, so they're really moving along. I also wanted to ask if you guys could stay back for a few minutes after the meeting and take a picture with Milt the Mouse, because he's making his way around the township this summer, and he'd love to get a picture with you guys, so that'd be great if you could do that. Thank you.
Absolutely. Cheryl, anything?
I have nothing this evening, thank you.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to provide a brief update on the Community Rec Center project. We're continuing to progress with the design development phase. And over the last several weeks, design teams have been able to refine a lot of the interior spaces, create some efficiencies, and even make some square footage reductions. So we're definitely on the right track there. In the next week or two, we should be doing some geological testing on site. So they should be here, like I said, within the next week or two, making some various borings around the rec center property. And actually today they started with the traffic study. So there were some cameras out front of the rec center and the library, just catching the daily flow, just trying to capture what that, on a typical day, what those traffic patterns look like. And then again, they'll be doing for an event, they'll be doing that at the end of July at Hacks Divisionals to see what a large event would look like.
Laura thought she was under surveillance.
I didn't know. I was like, I need to ask about that. Yeah. And I totally
forgot. Yeah. So that's what that was. And then also, our drive-in movies at Shank Park. We've been struggling to get our first movie in, but we postponed it twice. So it was supposed to be last weekend, but with the weather, we postponed that to this Friday. So at Shank Park this Friday at dusk, we'll be showing The Sandlot.
Excellent. All right.
Zach, you're doing a great job on the Community Center project. Thanks for all the work.
Thank you.
Only update is that we have scheduled the pre-construction meeting for the 322-422 streetscape on July 3rd.
Okay, thank you. Chuck? I just wanted to mention, I believe the board's aware that there's a fatality on Hirsch Park Drive on a bicycle last week. And this coming Monday, there's going to be a short ride from EDC3, which is the origin point of where the rider came from, to that site, and the placement, and this, I guess, a small ceremony for a ghost bike, which is just to build awareness within our community of people having their bikes.
Thank you. Lauren?
Just to echo the previous comments about Culture Fest, I think for our first year doing this event, it went really, really well. It wouldn't have been possible without all the volunteer support, of course, the help from our sponsors, and certainly the fire department, police, and EMS, who all provided resources in addition to the Methodist Church. Lots of township departments, definitely Matt and his team, and Public Works as well. We also had several community organizations, in addition to the amazing food and artists and performances that we had throughout the day. So it was really a great day, and it took a lot of work from a lot of people. So.
Well, it went off beautifully. So. And the weather helped, you know, held off, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got lucky.
Joe, anything?
Nothing, thank you.
I'll entertain a motion to approve accounts payable in the amount of $610,623.14 and payroll in the amount of $375,922.47. Solomon, moved by Mr. Engel. I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. And now it's time for our second session of visitor and public comments. Anybody wishing to address the Board of Supervisors, please approach the podium, state your name and address, and if you'd be so kind as to limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, it'd be greatly appreciated.
Harry Susie, 86 Ridgeview Road, Homelstown, Pennsylvania, Derry Township. I just want to clarify something looking over the projection. There's a couple things that I'm wondering if moving forward, if you're going to plan on any real clarification. There's a couple things I question. On page 3, the current long-range plan model calls for a potential future millage increase of 0.93 to 1.73. It also shows, and you know, I'm a financial guy, so I don't understand, so hopefully you guys, maybe in the future, will maybe through the press or somehow explain a little bit, because what I'm seeing through 2018, this is on page 4, by the way, from 2018 through 2025, that we're running a deficit every year up to over $1 million. So that's kind of concerning when I look at this briefly.
Yeah. Harry, can I ask you something? Were you here the night that they went over that?
I was.
Oh, were you? Okay.
Yeah.
The only thing I want to point out is that, you know, it can be deceiving looking at that, because that's not what we're planning to do.
That's good to know.
That's a planning tool. That, and each year that we do the budget, each year that Jim does the budget, he gets it to balance. So that makes a lot of assumptions that if we don't sort of correct certain things, or if we don't look at certain expenses, or sharpen the pencil a little bit, that's where we could go. But we're not gonna go there, because we're going to take corrective measures every year.
And it's stated, on page 3, that the township plans to study budget in depth to find ways to reduce future spending, which I understand. But again, moving forward, because you put this on your website, and I pull it up and I print it out, and the first thing I see, I go like, wow.
Yeah.
So hopefully, moving forward, you can somehow maybe, as you go forward with the projects, and have the big one coming up, the rec center, that you're able to kind of maybe clarify a little more where we're going financially with the deficit. And again, wait, just to clarify everything, would be, I think for me anyway, very helpful, and I think for a lot of people in the community as well.
And to be sure, there that's a working document.
Right.
It's going to be subject to modification in real time as to changes in the circumstances. But to be sure, there are several very critical assumptions that are made in the formulation of those numbers. And I think we've spoken about them publicly, such as the ability to raise $5 million in our capital campaign is very important, and the ability of a second digester to realize a certain amount of money per year for the next 15 years. And the assumption that our rec center is going to derive a certain amount of revenue, about $3 million a year, over the next, each year for the next several years. But it also factors into variables and assumptions concerning the increases in property taxes that we're hopefully going to derive as development throughout the township is realized, and potential grant awards as well. So it's what we know as we sit here today, based on some very critical assumptions, which are subject to change, and it's going to be an evolving calculus, if you will, as things come to fruition or don't come to fruition.
I mean, the school just announced they're going to have a tax increase. Obviously, I mean, let's just say you're going to have that tax increase as well. How does that affect the people who own homes in Derry Township? You know, we're carrying the burden of everything. And hopefully, again, I'm not sure where the school stands. I haven't really followed that as close. One thing is enough to follow. And but again, it's very concerning that, you know, is the real estate tax going to double or triple or whatever. So hopefully you'll keep all of us in the loop with this whole situation. We greatly appreciate it.
It's certainly our intention to do so.
Great. Good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Harry.
Is there anyone else who would like to address the board this time?
I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Jill Lintuck, and I am the Democratic candidate for the House of Representatives in our district. I just wanted everyone to know that I'm always available if anyone has any issues, anything you need me to do, anything you need me to know, please contact me. I have cards and a website, and you can see me after if you have something you want to tell me. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Anyone else? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And this meeting is adjourned.